WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Do you have a favorite word? Linguist Jeff Nunberg does.
There was a story in the Wall Street Journal the other day about a Texas dentist who's building a 110-foot-tall catapult with the aim of hurling a Buick 250 yards through the air. He chose the Buick because it's heavy and because he likes its name. Well, Buick is a great name. Nobody would build a siege engine to throw something called a Lexus or an Altima around. It shows what length some people will go to out of a pure love of words. The story reminded me of Bernard Pivot, who's sort of the Barbara Walters of French literature. For the past 20 years or so, Pivot has been hosting a primetime literary interview show on TV that consistently outdraws Dallas or Dynasty, or whatever the other stations throw up against it. One of the stock questions he always asks is, what's your favorite word? The last time I caught his show, the guests were William Styron, who was speaking through an interpreter, and some politician who'd just written a novel. When Pivot asked Styron the question, he seemed a bit at a loss. He launched into a windy evasion. Well, you know, asking a writer to choose a favorite word is like asking a parent to choose a favorite child. Pivot had obviously heard this sort of thing before and cut him off. Merci, he said, and moved on to the politician. He, of course, had seen the show many times before and was ready for the question. La paix, he said, right off. Peace. Pivot arched his eyebrows to show he clearly didn't think a lot of that answer either. He was right, too. I mean, peace may be a wonderful concept, but it's not much of a word, not in French or in English. Now, maybe peas. Actually, it's not an easy question. Some people try to give you what they think are beautiful-sounding words, things like willow or autumn. But that's always a tricky business, because you're never sure how much your impression of the word is colored by its meaning. Max Beerbohm once asked a friend, "Do you not think that ermine is among the most beautiful-sounding words in the language?" "Oh, to be sure," his friend replied, and Beerbohm said, "Well, what about vermin?" On the other hand, there are some absolutely gorgeous-sounding words that we tend to overlook because their meanings are unpleasant. Take melanoma. A beautiful word, you want it to be the name of a tropical wind instead of a tumor. You think of something out of a Carmen Miranda song. Smell the tropical aroma carried on the melanoma. Actually, there are a lot of medical words that have that feeling, like diarrhea. What a waste of syllables. Anyway, what we're looking for isn't sound or meaning alone, but the happy wedding of the two. My 5-year-old daughter understood that right off when I asked her what her favorite word was. She said knucklehead without a beat, like she'd been thinking about it all afternoon. I don't know that I could be that decisive. I'm not even sure what part of speech I'd start with. I used to have this thing about the preposition athwart, because I always liked the line from Romeo and Juliet about how the queen of the fairies gallops athwart men's noses as they lay asleep. But now, all of a sudden, athwart's gotten trendy. You can't throw a rock without hitting a sentence like, "Modern Yugoslavia sat athwart the fault lines of European history," or, "He sets himself athwart the tide of conventional wisdom." Forget this one. Maybe I'd pick a verb, entitle, wallop, or bamboozle. You tell foreigners about bamboozle, they always think it's a much more serious offense than it actually is. Or peruse. A lot of people like this one. Nobody's sure what it means exactly, but people say it anyway just because they like the sound of it. It makes a nice noun, too. I enclose these for your perusal. Perusal. If you didn't know better, you'd think it was Yiddish. What about adjectives? I have a weakness for the ones that go after the noun, like galore, or better, akimbo. I always take a pleasure in working this into a conversation. "Oh, nothing, I'm just sitting around, you know, akimbo." This is actually a perfectly good Anglo-Saxon word, but it has this nice exotic lilt to it, akimbo. That's what I'm going to call my blockbuster novel when I get around to writing it. In the end, though, I suppose you have to choose a noun, don't you? Well, if Bernard Pivot ever asks me, I'll pick lap, that ephemeral body part which no other language has a name for, that word that puts the pal in palindrome. Now, that's a noun to make you want to hurl a couple of thousand pounds of metal athwart the bay.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.